Saints or Sinners, episode 6. If you follow St Kilda FC, love the AFL, love your fantasy or super coach, and love all things footy related, stats, insights and all, well then this is the podcast for you. What drives listeners to our podcast is that out of our four hosts, only three of them are Saints fans. The other is a high level footy coach who tells us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. We back everything up with stats, insights. We've got someone who works for the AFL himself doing match highlights. Kick back, listen and enjoy. We've taken the time to prepare our segment, stats and trivia for today. All we ask in return is that you rate us and follow us on Spotify and or Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Saints or Sinners Pod. Also, follow along as we are starting to slowly roll out our network of footy contacts that will include current and former AFL players, athletes, coaches and commentators, as well as free giveaways to Gumbaya World, St Kilda merchandise and more. So it's a good time to get in and follow some of these deals. A podcast is nothing without a panel, and we have a good mix of talent for you here today. So joining us is, firstly, our 35 years of watching St Kilda games, man, over 700 games watching the Saints, a semi-retired chef of five-star restaurants across Melbourne, Sydney and Sri Lanka, and also working at the MCG now himself. It is Chef Yoz.
Thank you, thank you. Yes, it was another rollout to the new season, and it wasn't a good one, was it? But we'll get to that. And in speaking, I'll be giving away most of my Saints gear after this week. So if you want to come down to Moorabbin, I got a plethora of Saints gear up for grabs. It was pretty disappointing, but we'll get to that.
A fantasy fanatic finishing in the top 100, chasing that number one spot in AFL Dream Team. Over 1,500 games of match highlight packages delivered working for the AFL himself. We've got St. Trenner.
Thank you, guys. I had a mixed weekend. I had plenty of good fantasy news. I'm in the top, well, I was in the top 100 to round off my Saturday night, and then I drifted out a little bit, but I'm within touch, so I'm happy there. Not happy that I had to produce the highlights for the Saints. I was struggling to find them.
Is that why you're in top, though? You didn't put any Saints in your team. That was a good start.
I will get to that later.
Okay.
It's our AFL Athletes Development Coach, former VFL head coach and current coach of the North Ballarat Football Club, married to a St Kilda wife and her family, keeping it real for us one-eyed Saints supporters. We're going to call in Coach Proc. So Coach Proc is coming from North Ballarat playing in the preseason, so we're going to dial him in and hopefully get his Lion Tamer segment. So today we're going to talk about the Saints versus Adelaide, obviously the game plan, the positives, if there were any, and the negatives. Comparing to the other games that we might have watched as well. So hopefully we can draw insights from some of the great matches we watched, today not being one of them. We'll go into Coach Proc's Lion Tamer segment when we dial him in. We'll give our Saint or Sinner of the Round. We'll talk about our GT pressure rating for the Saints players under the microscope. We'll finish off with some fantasy and hopefully we can talk some footy. All right, let's get straight into the action. So St Kilda played Adelaide today. I'll do a quick recap for those who didn't get to watch it. Adelaide blew the game open early, kicking 5 unanswered goals in the first 18 minutes to take a 30-point lead at quarter time. We then steadied in the second, but the damage was done as the Crows went into the half up by 37. The third quarter, we actually kicked the first to start it, but then the Crows piled on 7 straight to completely put the game to bed, and the lead was beyond 60 points. We found some late goals in the last quarter, but the Crows cruised to a dominant 63-point win. Fogarty led the way with 4 goals, while Jordan Dawson had 27 disposals and 2 goals. Saliga was also fantastic with 29 disposals and a goal. For the Saints, McRae was St Kilda's best with 34 touches, while Max Hall kicked 2 goals on debut. Yoz, did you watch the game, and what are your thoughts on Saints v Adelaide?
I did watch the game. I pushed out 4 busy services at the MCG for the opening round, so that was good. And we improved during the week. The first one was a bit of a stitch up because we didn't know much about what was going on. Second night was a lot better, so that's what I'm hoping with the Saints season. We'll take it from there, because today was like it was like a repeat of, like, I'm just gonna rant a bit, because it's a repeat of what we've seen over and over again. Like, we knew we were going to be undermanned. Looking at going back on Clint's line team segment last week, we knew what Adelaide's strengths were. We knew what our weaknesses were. But the thing that disappoints the fans, it's not the fact that we lost, because we knew it was going to be a tough trip going over to Adelaide without a forward line. We were missing so many players. But we went with the experienced bodies. We brought in Zach Jones without playing any preseason matches. We had Hunter Clark as a sub. We brought Rowan Marshall obviously had to come in, but he was underdone. Mm. But we didn't go with the youngsters that excited us in preseason. We didn't go with Boxall. We didn't go with Keeler. We went with more mature bodies, and it just didn't work out. And that's the thing that frustrates us, I think, in that we can accept the losing. The guys tried hard, but the fact that we didn't get to see any excitement, there was no dynamic play from anyone. If you look at how Richmond had, they had a huge amount of youngsters in. Their mature players played their role, and they came up with a win. Like, even if they didn't win, I think Richmond fans would have been happy, but it wasn't that. For us, it was exactly the opposite.
Yep.
We didn't get to see many youngsters. Like, Boyd is, like, a mature ager. Hall, who played really well, is a mature ager. O'Connell's an Irishman. So we didn't get to see any of our young draft talent that we actually drafted. So that was frustrating as well. We didn't get to see Trevally. Obviously, you know, Taru is still injured. There he is. But he's going to be playing in a couple of weeks, according to Ross. We didn't get to see, obviously, the other guys are injured, Philippou and all that. But that's the thing that disappoints me. And I think fans will relate to that over the years. That's the thing as well, that we're really frustrated with this selection. We guys like, who's my favourite man at the moment? Ryan Burns, one of Rossi's favourite. He's a good, honest player. But we know what you're going to get 15 disposals every week. And I think Jules made a really relevant point that you would see him at VFL and he wouldn't stand out either way. So that's what I'm really upset about. And, like, we just look, again, off the pace. Again, same thing with Port Adelaide. That free-flowing run off their half-back line, we couldn't curtail it. And they just had chains and chains of that. And we just looked so, just, like, there was no, like, pressure. Like, we relate line teams with that manic pressure. There was none of that around the ball, and they just had their way. And really, the only time we picked it up is when they eased off a bit, you know, in the second quarter. So I don't take any stock of that type of good play that comes with that, because when the match was on the line, we were really average, really, really average.
Siren sound. That is where we pause the podcast to ask a trivia-related question to the panel and for those at home. St. Trenor, you've got some trivia prepared for us today.
We're going back to the Who Am I's with some cryptic clues again from a fortnight ago. Now, I have thrown in some past players as well, so it's not just current players, but they are St. Kilda players, so that should help. All right, let's start with the first name. My first name rhymes with a word used to describe someone who is ill. I'll say that again.
Yes, say it again.
First name rhymes with a word used to describe someone who is ill.
I've got something in mind, but I won't spoil it yet.
No, okay. I reckon you need to go for it.
The first part of my surname is a nickname for the popular singer Rihanna. And the second part of my surname is the name of the man who created the Disney empire.
Walt.
Okay, so when you're ill, you're sick. So I'm just going to say Nick and then Rihanna Ree and then Walt. So Nick Revolt.
Oh, well done.
If you go on the German pronunciation, then yes, Revolt. But
I
yes,
think I got
it was
lost
Nick Revolt.
At, popular music. That was a good question and a good get by
you. And hopefully you got that at home. So, Trenor, did you cut the highlights for the Saints match today? And were there any highlights?
There were plenty of Adelaide highlights. I'll tell you what, I was struggling to find the Saints ones in there. But yes, I did do the game. And I was disappointed, just like Yoz says, that we didn't play the guys that we saw in the preseason, like Boxall. Even though he's a youngster, he was the one that showed the most in the preseason. And what do? We bring in someone like Zach Jones, who hasn't even played a preseason game. It just boggles my mind what we're trying to do. The one thing that really frustrated me, not just because I own him in fantasy, but is that we played Hugo Garcia mainly in the middle during the preseason. I think he had 18 centre bounce attendances in the preseason. And he played 50% game time up until the fourth quarter. And then they finally gave him a chance in the middle. And what does he do? He flourishes. We've got to give these guys more opportunities, because then, like you said, Yoz, we can be excited like the Richmond fans were on Thursday night. So that really frustrated me. I wasn't surprised at all by the result. I think I said last week on the podcast, or maybe off air, that Adelaide are my smoky for this season. I think they'll be very, very strong at home. They've got talent across every line. So the result didn't surprise me at all. But the way that we shifted around the magnets and just tried to rely on experience, but experience that was underdone, was really frustrating. So I think we went a couple steps backwards. We didn't get to see those young guys shine like we did in the preseason.
Yeah, a lot of Saints fans are pretty disappointed with the result. But honestly, there are some, if we can try and come up with some positives and raise the energy a little bit on the podcast. I put down some notes as I was watching the game, and hopefully I'll get your boys' opinions on these as I read them out. Firstly, I noticed that Marshall started at full forward, and I absolutely love seeing that. I mean, obviously Harry Boyd had a bit of a task going up against, was it Riley O'Brien in the middle? But I just love seeing a bit of experience and strength up forward. I thought that was a good look for the Saints. Whether it worked or not is a different story. But I thought to start the game, it was nice to see Ross maybe chuck around the magnets a little bit. Not that that's a huge change, but just seeing Marshall up forward I thought was good, saying, you know, we recognise that we've got this powerhouse up front. I thought McRae and his clearance work is going to be really beneficial for the Saints. Like, we've compared him to Tom Mitchell a lot, and he put Saints in a really positive position to get the ball forward with these little quick handballs that I think will definitely complement players like Jack Steele and even Zach Jones when he was in the middle as well. But I think watching the game, it was very obvious we were undersized down back. Now, Fogarty and Walker were always going to have field days against us, and Riley Thilthorpe as well. Adelaide actually have probably one of the strongest and tallest and scariest forward lines out in the comp. And for us, being without Dougal Howard, really, and Josh Battle, you know, that was very evident that we're missing our two key defenders. Wilkie can only do so much. Hasty, people were saying he's had a good game. I saw him looking a little bit unsure of who to mark, where to mark. He'll learn from that. You know, he's still only playing his sixth or so game. And one thing I noticed was there were times where we tried to move the ball, which was good. And I've always said this as a Saints fan, is that we're not upset if we try and take the game on. I noticed this play where Marshall was taking a mark up around the wing and he tried to move the game quickly in the corridor by handballing it to Garcia. Now, Garcia got run down, pinged for holding the ball. But at least they're trying something, and that's what you want to see. But again, Adelaide super clean with their handballs. It was 12-3 inside 50s in the first 10 minutes. I thought we got out-muscled in the contest around the game, you know, around the ground, even the forward line. Like, every time the ball goes to ground, it seems that the Saints just can't get their hands on it first. And I think, you know, that's why we're going after players like Finn Callahan, because we need that size and strength. We just get out-muscled way too easily, and especially Adelaide with all their big bodies.
We might need an extra $10 million for Finn.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know if anything will get him over here. Mate.
We're going for Finn Light in LDU now.
And again, Adelaide had 429 disposals, which again was the highest amount of disposals for the opening two rounds, round zero and round one. So it's the highest amount of disposals conceded by a team. We were beaten in kicks, handballs, marks, tackles, inside 50s by seven, beaten in disposal efficiency, beaten in inside 50 efficiency, beaten in stoppages, and beaten in centre clearances 20-11. So if that doesn't show the dominance that happened. And then against Port Adelaide in the preseason game, you know, they had 343 uncontested possessions. I counted Adelaide had 152 uncontested possessions at halftime, and they finished with 274. Adelaide even won the tackles 40-30.
Oh, I think that's the most damning one. When you like, I think, like, when you strip it, like, you're a young team, you strip it back to basics. Like, if you're behind, you're chasing, you got to be leading the tackles. Yeah. If they can beat in tackles as well. What's the point? And that's like, that's unlike a Ross Lyon coach team.
And just the centre clearances in the third quarter, it just felt like after we kicked the first goal, Adelaide kicked five goals very, very quickly. And it was just hit out, clearance, goal, hit out, clearance, goal. Yep. And it was still McRae on the back foot. And, you know, it just can't happen. And, yeah, I mean, we actually won the total clearance count from memory, but we actually lost the centre clearances 20-11, which shows that we're just not strong enough in that middle and we need some support in there.
I think even that third quarter, Marshall was a guy in the centre. I think Boyd battled really manfully in the first half, but he's not that AFL-level star ruckman, wasn't he? He looked a bit cooked, like, in the first quarter even, like some of his efforts following up. I thought he'd be a bit... Because he's not the tallest guy, is he, when you stack him up against the other guys? I thought he'd be a bit better at ground. But, like, I think he battled manfully in his first match, and he'll get better. But, again, like, I would have preferred, like, even if he went Boyd or Caminiti, I would have preferred to see Keeler, because he's got that upside. That ceiling is right up there. Boyd, if he'll be a good, honest player if he cracks it with us. But, like, Keeler has that touch. He had that touch below his feet when the ball hit the ground. He can get up. He can give us that X factor and something when the ball hits the ground. Caminiti was one and done, wasn't he? Just got no effort once he makes that first effort and the ball goes out, that's it.
Two more insights I'm going to give you that I researched myself as well was it's actually the highest points we've conceded since Ross re-signing. So that's concerning. And another thing is I noticed that we lost the mark count. Adelaide had 102 marks. I did some research and in 2024... You know, we went on that run where we won six out of the last eight games. In all six of those matches, we actually led the marking count. So we had more control of the ball.
Yep.
And out of our 11 games last year, in nine out of those 11 matches, we won the marking count as well. So that tells me that we need to be in control of the ball and do our stop start, chip it around, have a bit of control. Today we played Adelaide's game and Saligo Dawson, as we predicted last week, had an absolute field day against stuff with
Crouch.
Their running
they
in
all
transition.
Did as they pleased.
Crouch as well. And, you know, if we're going to play other teams' game, we can't. And Ross has given us this game plan of kicking it down the line, going slow, marking the ball. So if we lose the marking count, it's a big reason why we're not in games. And, yeah, we just got outclassed by a superior team. But wasn't I meant to talk about positives? It sounds very negative on my
head. Well, I would say positives. I did like that combination. I thought it was Ari Schoenmaker showed a bit. And he's got really good distribution off that left foot. And him, Hasty, and Wangani Malira, I think, is a good combination down back. Once we get Dougal back there and you get eased a bit of the pressure on Wilkie, I like that combination because it gives us a bit of ability to move Sinclair up into the midfield, switch one of the other guys back or move. I think Wanganeen Malira, Like, his distribution was a bit off today, but, like, once you get him up on the ball, he's got that bit of dynamism. And he's also built up his strength a bit. So he's pushing off people a bit. So that's the type of skill we need up against the ball. We need guys like Liam Henry back desperately. Mm-hmm. We need Philippou because they've got that level of skill X factor that we don't have at the moment.
All right, we've got our second Who Am I? Another cryptic clue for you. This is a past player. Surname is the second name of a major retail chain you'd find in really any shopping outlet around Australia. And the first name is slang for what you'd call someone from our country.
What?
My concentration is going. Give me it again.
Let me lock in.
Listen along at home as well. See if you can get this.
So my surname is the second name of a major retail chain you'd find in shopping outlets around Australia. And first name is slang for what you'd call someone from our country.
Aussie Jones.
Oh, David Jones. Very good.
Mum's favourite shop, David Jones. Should have got that.
Free plug for David Jones.
Yes, free plug.
I like it. Trenna, saint or sinner for the round, or both?
I've actually got one of each because I know there'll be a lot of sinners out there. There was a lot of frustrated Saints fans that we saw online. But I'm going to start it off with a saint, and that's Coach Prox Mann. I think he handed him a game in the VFL recently, and his name's Max Hall, and he was very lively for us up forward.
The dairy farmer.
That's right.
We need to get a cowbell on for Maxie.
We can organise the bell sound effects.
But, yes. I mean, he got in good positions up forward. I think he kicked one goal two from his first three kicks of the game and ended up with two goals two. He reminded me of a little bit of a Matthew Parker type, if you remember him. Hopefully he has a more
body shape.
Come on. Yeah. He's better than that.
I don't know if Matty Parker was out there milking cows.
Wasn't that Dustin Martin from TU?
That's interesting.
Maybe I got the Matty Parker comparison.
No, keep the Matty Parker. I would say he's the opposite of Matty Parker. He's solid. He's well beat. He's got a big bum on him, but he was good. And he's a bit of X factor up. I keep saying X factor because we're a bit plain vanilla ice cream. We need a few different flavors.
When he said Parker, I thought he was saying Luke Parker.
Actually, he's closer to Luke Parker. No, he was good.
He was my saint for the round.
He was competitive when the heat was on, actually. And if he had a bit of composure, he could have snagged a couple more. Could have had a big day out.
I'm still laughing.
All right, sinner for me.
All right, well, my sinner was actually a man that I didn't even realise he was playing until halftime. I kid you not. I had no idea this guy was on the park until I was looking at the fantasy stats for halftime and I saw him right at the bottom there, and that was our man Brad Hill. Now, I know he's been bashed over the years and I don't like to add to that. I really enjoy the ball in his hands, but you've got one handball to your name at halftime and no other stats recorded, no tackles, no marks, nothing, just one handball to halftime.
It came up on the screen, negative 4 metres gained.
Oh, wow. I saw that as well.
I was like,
he's running into the crowd or something. How's that work?
Well, that's the disappointing thing. That's the type of player we needed to stand up today to lead the youngsters, and it just didn't happen, did it?
It's just confusing because a couple of weeks on the podcast, I said how good he looked in the Indigenous All-Stars game. Mm. He was obviously mic'd up for that game, so he was showing a lot of leadership that they showed later on Fox Footy, but yeah, he was really impressive in that. He was okay in the preseason. And then to come out and not register a stat at all at quarter time and then have one handball to halftime, I was absolutely shocked. I didn't realise he was playing. That's no joke. So he's my sinner of the round.
Well, that's the thing. If you're not getting a touch, do something. What's that old do? Grab someone, tackle someone, do
that'd be
something.
A question for Coach Prock, how we get these players involved.
He'll pull their finger out and get stuck in somehow. But, like, we'll just go. I don't want to rant on Brad Hill again, but, like, for what the type of player he was at Hawthorn and Fremantle, he's been a decent, solid player for us. But on that package, I know he said the pressure got to him, but he hasn't been at that level for us. He's been a good, solid player, but he hasn't touched those.
He'll be disappointed with that.
Which is disappointing.
He'll be disappointed with that game.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be disappointed with his Saints career. Sorry.
Cheeky dig there from yours.
Yeah. All right, I hope you're enjoying these Who Am I's. I'm not going to tell you whether it's
right,
a past or... I'm not going to tell you if it's a past or current player. You're going to have to work it out with these clues. My first name is the first part of the word used to describe the temperature in America. My surname.
Fahrenheit. You got your temperature when cooking on you straight away.
Wow. I'll read out the second clue just for those playing at home. My surname is the name of the lead actor in a popular sitcom involving his family who lived across the road.
Okay, everybody loves Raymond. Yeah, okay. It's easier when you know the name to work out the clues.
Good, honest player, Fahrenheit.
He was. Do you have a saint or sinner for us for the round?
I do. Who's my saint? Tough one.
There's not that many to choose from.
No, I'm going to go. I don't want to say Maxwell, but I'll go. Ari Schoenmaker, because we didn't see him the whole preseason. I just like what he has, and he's got a bit of potential. That's the type of player we need to replace Josh Battle. There are going to be some teething problems. He's going to turn it over. He's going to be times where he's cooked.
Yep.
When he just can't keep up. But that's the type of player we just play. Ross is going to put him in the back line. We're going to play you the whole year. And you just got to learn. Like I said, they keep saying we're the youngest team. So we need to see these young players. That's if you're a young team, these guys need to be in the team to develop. He's not going to do anything. He learned a little bit of craft in the reserves, but he's going to learn the most playing in these big games. So I'm going to put him as my saint. Sinner? I'm going to group sinner. So we're going to group them all together. Jones, Steele, Burns, Clark, Hill. Now that's an experienced. That's Clint Core for them in the team. Coach Proc, we wanted the hard bodies to stand up to this. What do you add up their total of possessions? What was it? 60 between them.
Mm-hmm.
The impact was nothing there, was it? And that's it was like every time I saw something happen that I thought was good, it was from the younger players. It was a Hasty. It was a Wilson. It was a Schoenmaker. It was a Garcia. We didn't see it from those guys. You know, it was really disappointing.
We've got the lion tamer himself connected via phone. Coach Proc, do we have you there?
Hey, lads. How's it going?
Good, Coach Proc. So you had a win with North Ballarat Football Club today. Is that right?
Hey, we did. We got a W on the board, which was cool. Nice. Played against Bell Park in a practice match. They're down there in the Geelong Footy League. So, yeah, it was a good tune-up. Boys did well.
Let's talk about Saints v Adelaide today. I know we had some questions from the panel, and also we had some of our users from Instagram DM a few questions that we're going to ask yourself. Trenor, do you want to lead some of the questions from, was it Gary who reached out?
Yeah, we had a Gary who said, who's the best player to accompany Jack Steele and Jack McRae in the middle? And that's something I think that we actually raised a few weeks ago as well. Who is that third mid that you think best belongs along those two?
Old mate Gary signing into the DMs.
And just Coach Frog, it's not Zach Jones, just so you know.
Well, they picked him, didn't they? I told you.
Three kicks for the whole game, old Zachy.
I told you, Yoz, that they would go with experience, and look what they did. But anyway, I mean, I'm sure we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Look, actually, the more I've thought about this is I think I'm going to call it – I'm just going to go with Mason Wood. I feel like I saw a little bit of today's game. They're obviously not experimenting on the wings, but they're trying to add a little bit more – maybe some bit more versatility there. Maybe it's just time for Wood to go in and roll his sleeves up and be a big man and give you that size and strength in there. And I think that he could do it really well with the three of them. And maybe they can become something and they find something within their list.
Well, I think last week you mentioned as well old mate in the forward pocket, who's our friend.
Higgins.
Yep. And that was nothing. Like, he was in the game the whole match, and that I was thinking that exact same thing that you said. Wow, this would be a good time to get him into the game. So he's just sitting there.
Yeah.
We all know it's like a really hard position to play that forward pocket role, isn't it? You can get knocked out of the game if the ball's not coming down there. So I thought that was exactly the thing you said.
It's perfect. Yeah, centre bounces are a great place for a half forward to just go into, feel some body, go forward, get into dangerous spots and hopefully get on the end of it. So, yeah, and clearly it was a big concern, especially in that third quarter when the Saints lost 6 in a row, I think I was, and it resulted in 3 goals straight from centre bounces. So, yeah, it was a bit concerning in that space, that's for sure. But, yeah, Mason Wood is my answer. I'd go Mason Wood.
I like it. And this man has had success moving the Magnets around before. He's one of the men behind the move to move Connor Nash in the midfield for Hawthorn, and look how well that's paid off. And a lot of people wouldn't have thought that someone of Nash's size and, I guess, agility could be a success in the middle. So I like your suggestion to put Mason Wood in there, Clint. Very good. Hopefully that Ross Lyon will be listening.
Well, sometimes
it's going to try something different, isn't it?
Sometimes it's like in front of you, it's like literally right there in front of you, but you can't see it. You know what I mean? And you don't need to go and recruit to find it. And it's only through necessity that you have to then make these moves, like Rory Lobb going back, and all of a sudden, you know, these guys become great intercept markers and things just because they had injuries, and it's like, or he's about to get delisted, right?
Well, I think they had their hands tied a bit, though. I guess with the injuries up forward, they felt that Woods' height and his ability to hit the scoreboard, that he was the best option, I guess.
So for sure.
Brock, Saints lost the centre clearances 22-11. In that third quarter when the Crows piled on 6-7 goals straight, it was literally just hit out down to, you know, Jordan Dawson, Saligo, and the Saints just could not get their hands on the ball. What do we do in terms of our midfield setup, whether that be like a defensive midfielder or what, as you talk about a Mason Wood? How do we stop that from happening so easy? Because there was literally nothing we could do. We were just sitting down like ducks out there just watching them do as they please.
It's hard. The 666 is brought in for that reason itself, right? To increase scoring and to make it more exciting from centre bounces and to challenge coaches. There's a couple of things you can do. You can bring off your defenders from the top of the square. So you know where your half forward's set up. You bring up a couple of defenders. It's risky. If the forward doesn't go with them, you have to wear it. And you move them straight into the centre bounce for when the ball goes up. So if they do come out the front, they're faced with at least a defender and they have to handball over the top. That's one way. The other way is maybe you roll your wingers back. You see when you look on the screen, the TV, and, you know, you see the wingers set up defensively, and then straight away, you know, you create a plus one. And your high forwards then need to just roll straight up onto those wingers so you get the extra number from there. So there's sort of two ways that you can support it, but basically you're conceding the fact that you're going to lose the centre bounce because literally it's ruck v ruck and three mid, so they've got to get it done.
Brock, this is from myself, but what can we expect from Maxwell going forward? Because he was really impressive today and he was someone that the fans really enjoyed watching. He kicked two goals too and he looked lively for us. What can you expect from him? Obviously, you've coached him before.
Yeah. Well, that game he played literally on like today was very similar to his match that he played in the VFL when he got his first taste. And it was about his third game of VFL footy, and it was a final. And he kicked three goals, and he just popped up out of nowhere like that. Real opportunist goals. Nothing clean about it, but he's deceptive in regards to being a really strong overhead mark. He reads the game incredibly well because he's got a strong IQ. Because you see, he's actually a midfielder, and he accumulates the ball really, really well. But obviously he's added that attribute where he can be a high half forward and get forward and kick some goals. So he's just a talented player in that space. So, yeah, I think that the Saints should be really optimistic about what he can do. I mean, you know, kicking a couple of goals and playing that way against, you know, in a difficult day for the Saints is pretty good. So, yeah, I think everyone should be really excited about what he can do in the future. And the reality is, though, he's a better midfielder than a forward. So, but it's whether he gets a crack. I don't know.
So he seems like he's got that competitive nature in him, which is the basic thing isn't it?
I mean, Ross will love him in that sense, Yoss, because he's hard as a cat's head. He loves it. You know, he's tough. He's in there. He's really clean as well, though. And again, whenever I had selection, especially for young guys, it was like, you know, the three main key areas that we would always look at is, one, are they conditioned? So are they fit and ready to play? Two, are they clean when they get the ball? So can they pick the ball up and not fumble? And that's incredible. And then the third one is, are they tough? And if you can do that, those three key areas in the VFL I'm talking about here, you'll be a great VFL player because the suburban grounds are quite tight, you see, compared to the big spaces of the MCG and Adelaide Oval. So, yeah, he was fantastic like that in regards to the VFL. And I think he'll be a great pickup for the Saints. And, yeah, good luck to him.
Mate, goal kicking half forward, they can go into the mid. They're gold.
They're gold. Like a young Matty Parker, hey, Clint?
I'm not sure about Matty Parker, but yeah, look, he's Max Hall is he'll be a good player. Don't worry about that.
Awesome. We had another DM from a guy called Lockie who said, who do the Saints need to swap out for the clash next week against Geelong? So we're already looking to team selection.
What's that, Marble? Gosh. It's a dry deck.
Well, who really comes back?
Fast deck at Marble.
Like, do you think
more speed?
Do you think the Jones experiment is over now, Clint?
Well, he started the game well, I thought.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
he was all right. But like, he hadn't played any preseason games as well. That's why I think you're not doing him justice as well.
I'll say this, right, that a lot of players still looked a bit underdone, didn't they? Like Jones, even Wood looked underdone.
They did.
They just, Jack Steele, I didn't hear his name get called much at all. Like, they just didn't seem like, obviously, they were getting their hands on the footy. So I'll give them all a mulligan, to be honest. Can we hold on the changes?
We can just wait.
Like, it's round one. There's been so many upsets.
But we've got to get Boxall in.
Hey?
We've got to get Boxall in. No, that was like...
Well, I mean...
I don't care about the other ones. He was one of the best performers in the preseason, and he deserved a spot, I reckon.
Yeah.
Potentially, but again, remember, it's about blending youth. You can't just expose it. It'll be 130 points, not 60. So you got to be careful in that space. And look, I don't know. There's no magical wand at the moment with the Saints. You just got to work through it. I would give him a mulligan, to be honest. I'd go again.
Let's be fair.
Yeah, it's a round one. But I guess the hard thing is we've got the Geelong, right? So
just one of the things that got me really annoyed is that today in AFL.com they had like a massive story, really good story about how Saints are trying to build from within to build themselves up to be a destination big club. And then when you get that sort of story, and then I know the reason behind this performance, but like, that's the thing that really annoys me, and that makes us the butt of the jokes of a lot of clubs, you know? Like in these big games, Maddie's match, all the other ones, the Pride games, we put up like really average performances. You know, if you put those sort of things out, you got to back it up. And we didn't, well, there wasn't too many positives to take out of the match, and I think that's what's frustrating. We could have accepted that we were going to struggle with the injuries, with the inexperience, the youth. But there wasn't enough positives to take out. And, like, if we had a couple of those other players, we would have little snippets that we can take for the next match. But like,
you're going hard early, aren't you?
Come on, mate. 35 years of this stuff. I can guarantee you there are so many fans that feel exactly the same way, because they've seen it not under only Rossi's regime, but under Ratten's regime. There was so many frustrating selections and same things. Like, the performance is up and down we can take, but like when you're not playing the kids that we want to see, what can you do?
Yeah, I just think, look, you're allowed your own opinion, and I just think I'll go back to the coaches' board.
Yes,
you can't have too many in.
That's why
Boxall was probably missed out with, you know, Max Hall playing ahead of him, and potentially was it O'Connell? Yep. Yeah, the Irishman, he looked pretty good as well. Like.
No, he doesn't.
But just like, you just got to be careful. You can't have too many, you know. And there's a fine balance. So I'm sure he'll get his chance, and they'll bring him into the team, and get that opportunity.
Can I fire a question at you, coach? What to do?
Yep.
Like, we understand, like, we're missing a lot. Max King, we're missing Cooper Sharman. So we're limited in what option we have as that tall at the moment. It's Caminiti who's struggling a bit. So what can we do?
Yep.
Like, Hawthorn plays one tall play and obviously have their mosquito fleet, all their small forwards. Yeah. We don't have that quality. What can we do to sort of improve that forward line if that's what we're going to have for the next couple of weeks?
Well, I swear to God, I'll go again. I'll move Jack Steele down there. Like, I watched the game for three quarters and he's not having the impact he used to in the midfield. And I'm like, I'll just move him down there and tell him to stand up as a leader. Like, we're short here. I'd flip him and Wood. I put Wood inside and tell him to roll his sleeves up. He's had a couple of games now. He's ready to go. I'd potentially put on him a bit. I know Marshall played down there because obviously, you know, he's got that injury. And,
well, he's under court.
You know, Boyd probably just didn't quite, you know, maybe he needs just a bit more time to see if he's up to it, but to see if that connection can work well. I'd move Steele down there and just tell him to man up a bit. Like, I'm a bit disappointed with him.
Super competitive.
I know he... He's had injuries last year and things like that. But again, I thought this game, round one, being the captain, like he should be getting 25 at least.
Well, he got outperformed. McRae outperformed him easily today, didn't he?
Well, again, I didn't watch it deeply, but I just didn't hear the commentators ever mention him in a way that he was having an impact on the game. And like, he's got to go somewhere and really drive those standards. And him and Hill obviously was really poor, but yep. Full credit. I actually think that that's a really good coaching move from Matty Nix. I think that rather than targeting Naz, he's just like, you know who you know what you're going to get from. He went after Hill, who's got a history of struggling with taggers.
Yep.
So they just moved him straight out of the game straight away. They wouldn't have expected that, the Saints. So that was a good move. And then obviously, yeah, geez, they look pretty good, the Crows, didn't they? Wow.
Could be the Saints factor because we made Port Adelaide look pretty good in that preseason match and they got touched.
Yeah, good.
I hope you remember my call last week, Proc, that Adelaide are not going to drop many games at home.
Mate, they looked everything like a bit of a top four team, but let's just wait and see.
Well, the thing, like we knew, like you said last week, and you know, their midfield, their forward line looks top class, but we didn't get to test out where their weakness is, and that's down back because we just didn't get the ball. We didn't win the ball. We didn't get it down there. We didn't lock it in. So they weren't tested, but yeah, they did look sleek.
Yeah, they look good. They look good.
Coach Proc, thank you for joining us on the Lion Tamer segment. We'll see you next week when we go up against Geelong at Marble. So hopefully a bit more positive signs from the Saints.
I reckon we might snag Proc during the week and get him to do a little analysis of the Geelong match.
That'd be nice, actually. Trivia time. What have you got for us?
Another who am I? Surprise, surprise. My first name rhymes with attack, but I was mainly at the other end of the ground. My surname is the start of a popular TV drama in the 90s starring Katie Holmes and Joshua Jackson.
Do I want to admit I watched Dawson, Zach Dawson?
Oh, Zach Dawson, what on yours?
Of course. Dawson's Creek,
let me put it out there that I never watched Dawson's Creek.
Oh, what a throwback.
But I do know the actor from one of the other films.
Beautiful. Let's get into our GT pressure rating. JT pressure rating, put in a player under the microscope, and now we can actually do this because we've had
it. It has to be a player, though.
That's true. It doesn't have to be a player. We've had a round now, so we can actually, I mean, again, as Coach Proc said, we might need to just steady the horses a little bit before we jump to conclusions. But, Yoz, did you have a player or coach or department in the JT pressure rating?
Department is the poor Saints social media team are under the pressure rating this week. I feel sorry. Obviously, it's a huge part of the football clubs these days, social media team. And you get pumped up for the opening season. Mate, I saw them. Good start. There was good, nice, attractive stuff on Instagram. And then the match came and, mate, what can you do, poor guys? There's not much you can do once you get pumped by 10 goals, is there? Not many positives. So hopefully the boys lift and give them a bit more material post-game for the Geelong match.
Trenner.
My pressure rating is for someone who actually didn't even take the field today. And that's going to sound harsh, but I'll tell you why in a moment. And that's Max King. Because I watched your brother Ben kick six goals, a career high for Gold Coast tonight against West Coast, and he delivered 55 goals last season. So, Max, we need you to come along and join the party that your brother's currently having.
Pressure is on him.
He has done his knee as well, hasn't he? And he's come back from a knee.
He's looking so solid. He took a Mark of the Year contender as well today, Ben. Max, we need you to come and join the party.
If there's any positives that can be taken from today, it's that our fantasy football teams have started, and I think Trenner got off to a hot start. Why don't you give us a fantasy update and tell us what us coaches need to do?
Yeah, I'm very happy with some of my selections. I know a few others who are listening and a few others just in the fantasy community got on a few of these players. So it was nice to see Sam DeConing score so highly in the ruck. He's just like his brother Tom. Tom scored, I think, 132 on Thursday, and then Sam backed it up on Saturday afternoon with 124. So those DeConing brothers are brilliant in the ruck. So well done, everyone who picked DeConing to start with in your back line. He's cheap as chips, and I think a lot of people will trade him in this week if they don't have him.
How many posies did Tom get? Up to 30.
Nearly 30 as a ruckman.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
Fantasy
isn't
gold.
He?
They're just so mobile.
I might just mention quietly, seeing Tom DeConing and Finn Callahan just have absolute blindness of games, it again gives us confidence that we're giving offers to the right players.
Yep. That's right. Another mid-pricer in the midfield that a lot of people were a little bit nervous about picking was Adam Chera because of those dodgy hamstrings, but he managed to get through a full game and score a very healthy 97. So thank you, Chera. Another interesting move that I did in my own team, which I don't actually recommend, is starting Jeremy Finlayson. He scored 84 playing that distributor role across the back line, and I'm actually really happy with that because I faded Jason Horne-Francis late, which was a big move on my behalf. So happy that that paid off this week, but I'm a little bit nervous how that pans out in the future weeks.
Well, it did come with the king. did come down there a lot. And also, Radaglia was out, so that was a really good
pick. Yeah, that's right. If he stays down back, I think he'll be a pretty handy pickup, especially at the price he's at. So, yeah,
I mean,
I'll keep an eye on
Finlay. The way he tore the Saints up in the preseason is what gave me that confidence. And I know they've got Richmond as well next week at home. So,
yeah, give him another go. Yep.
Yeah, I'm very hopeful of that one. Most people would have Perryman in the team, and he scored a measly 49. So if you're looking to make a rage trade, I would suggest Freya from Western Bulldogs. He scored over 100, and he looks solid for Western Bulldogs. He was always going to be a pretty neat pickup, and he confirmed that on the weekend. In terms of the rookies, who to fix up? Well, unfortunately, O'Connell was no good. James Leake was no good for GWS. So I would strongly advise to get Xavier Lindsay in from Melbourne if you can get someone in the midfield, because he scored in the 90s. He looked fantastic. And Mitch Nevitt as well is a mid-pricer who was one brought up in the preseason by a lot of Geelong players, and he was ready to break out, and he scored over 100. So that was a great pickup. And I suspect a lot of people would get on board with Jai Simkin. He's a mid-pricer from the fourth line who scored 125. So there you go.
We didn't do sliding doors this week because we're going to do it next week, but that was a sliding door moment.
We could have had Lindsay.
Quick one, we could have traded one of the top 10 picks, and Lindsay was one of the players we were looking at if we traded down. And needless left footer, 90 points.
He looked mature beyond his years.
Getting to the end of the podcast, we'll finish with a Who Am I, and then we'll preview next week before wrapping up.
Great, so we've got my first name is the type of beef that goes into a pie. My second name rhymes with one of the elements that make up a pie.
Damn it, I'm meant to get these on.
Come on, we've got a chef on our team. Surely.
My first name is the type of beef that goes into a pie. My second name rhymes with one of the elements that make up a pie.
I'm embarrassed that I can't get this.
Maybe I haven't worded this correctly.
I don't eat a lot of pies, to be honest. Any further clues that can... I hope someone at home is listening and screaming the answer, but I just have no idea right now.
A further clue is that he did play in today's game.
I'm drawing a blank. We're gonna need one of
a type of beef that goes into a pie. Or think about popular brands of
type
pies.
Type of beef or meat?
Type of meat, we'll say. My second name rhymes with one of the elements that make up a pie.
Oh, okay. I've just looked at the playlist. Is it Angus Hastie?
It is.
Your husband's face is not impressed.
But to be fair, I was Angus thrown beef, off because we were pastry, serving a little duck pie in the... A member's dining room for the
no
MCC
beef in those.
Members.
Yeah. We didn't mind Hasty today. Let's start quickly preview Geelong and then we'll wrap up. So Geelong Saints at Marvel on Saturday the 22nd of March, I believe. It's a night game.
It is.
All we need to do is, again, put in some effort, control the ball and the marking, as I said, try and get the game on our terms. Obviously, as Coach Brock mentioned, we need to quell Bailey Smith. So I don't know if we have Windy or someone try and run with him, but just his pace is electric. And now Connor Rosie, Horn Francis, and Salego have all killed us with their speed. So
yes, those dynamic midfielders coming out of the stoppage have really hurt us, haven't they?
Absolutely. Okay, that brings us to the end of Saints or Sinners Episode 6. Please make sure to rate us 5 stars on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That pushes us up the sports rankings. Next week, we'll discuss our game against Geelong. We'll talk about our Saints or Sinners for the round and watch out for the Lion Tamer Proc. I reckon he'll join us soon. As I said, please make sure to follow us on Instagram at Saints or Sinners Pod and be sure to tune in because we'll be having some footy guests on our show in the next few weeks. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate your support and we hope to see you next week on Saints or Sinners.
Now when the Saints play